Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Vince from the Sea of Midnight.
Let's start with dramatic and brooding. You don't strike me as either dramatic or brooding. And so many artists whose music is a little more on the dark side than the light side don't tend to be dramatic and brooding.
I actually don't feel like that I am really dramatic. I mean, I don't feel like I'm being dramatic when I'm writing. It's just coming from a place that's completely natural to me. And I don't think that if you asked friends and family, they would say he's dramatic. You know, that's not really where I'm coming from.
You've already gone out of your way to acquire kind of a feel for the if you'll excuse the expression, costume, the whole bit. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that the pictures that crop up a lot that kind of became the, you know, the what do you call it, a media campaign, were accidental. It was Easter of 2019, and my girlfriend and I, it was the pandemic. We hadn't been going out. We hadn't been doing anything. You couldn't go out anywhere. And she just said, let's dress up like we're going clubbing and just go watch the sunset. And that's what we did. And she just so we dressed up as if we were going to go clubbing. It was a windy day. I had the long coat. It was kind of for April day. It was cold out and the sun was going down. And she just snapped those on her iPhone. And we got home and took a look at them. And it was like, oh, these are kind of neat. These kind of have a vibe. And, you know, you got Instagram. Things are coming in. And I started just posting them as the cover story pick from whatever information I was putting on Instagram. And they looked good. And I started getting, you know, a lot of positive feedback on it. And somebody on Instagram had taken one of the pictures and sent it to me. And he had just branded it the Sea at Midnight, just without me asking, just sent it to me and said, I did this. I really like your music. Do with it what you want.
And you were like, wow, I'm saving a lot of money on a graphic designer.
Exactly. And so we struck up a friendship. I said, I would love to use this picture. Can I pay you? You know, can I give you a donation?
Right.
And he said, well, I'm on this, you know, site called Fiverr. So I sent him a few more pics from that day. And I said, you know, do your thing.
And next thing you know, he's your graphic designer. He's your guy.
He's my guy. And I'm going to give him a plug here. It's Ryan Mitchell. And he has a blog called Darkness Calling. And he's pretty responsible. And then he would just said, oh, you know, I made a logo for you. You know, I don't know if you'll like it. I mean, he would just do things like that. And we've struck up, we're friends now.
Cold wave, post-punk, dark wave, goth. Is this you doing this, or is this the press feeding it back to you already?
I never came out and said that.
Right.
You know, I don't put that on my...
Right.
Well, I guess I did, you know, when I started to see what was out there.
You kind of have to do something to define it.
Yeah, because they really, and they want influence. I mean, everyone who's ever said to write a bio is always like, you know, do your influences. And we talked about influence. And it, you know, it's kind of, it's a little bit boring and, you know, and I don't even really know how much it matters, but it was just a way to kind of, you know, get in there, but I just feel like I'm a songwriter and that's the way they come out and that's the way they get placed. You know, I never sit down and think I'm going to write a cold wave song. I mean, that doesn't go through my head, you know, or I'm going to, you know, today I'm really going to go post-punk, you know, and
yeah, right. I'm going to wake up this morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to wake up this morning and I'm going to be Cabaret Voltaire. Let's move on.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. And, you know, they kind of, when you start to, you know, you write them on acoustic or something, and then you start to, like, you know, play with them and flesh them out, they kind of do you know, fall into those genres. But what I don't particularly like in the whole scene is the real cutting up of the genre into subgenres, into this and that. It's like, well, that's not cold wave enough, or is that really post-punk? And it's kind of like,
this is friggin' music. Come on, let's move
exactly,
on.
Exactly.
Formal training. I know nothing.
Don't have any. I was never in choir or chorus as a kid. I took a folk guitar class in high school, and I was so horrible and had so little, I felt, aptitude with it. I was like, I have no talent for this. I'm, you know, this is not me. I can't do it. And then, that was the extent of it. And if, do you want to know how I got my first singing gig then?
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How'd you get your first singing gig?
Well, I was in college, and I used to walk around with a green trench coat like Ian Curtis and, you know, little Joy Division buttons on my, and, you know, and you would go out to shows, you know, the little more like, let's just say alternative shows, and you would kind of see the same kit, you know, same people. And you know, I was always wearing the, you know, band t-shirts that were, you know,
not, appropriate.
Exactly. And
right.
I had long hair at the time and earrings, and I was at a show. I can't remember what show it was. And somebody came up to me at the bar and said, I'd like you to be the singer in my band. And I said, I've never really sang out of the shower in my life. And he said, and I thought, because we're in college, they're a cover band. They got to be a cover band. So I think I said something like, you know, I wouldn't know how to sing like, you know, Robert Smith, or, you know, I named some singers.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And he said, oh, we're an original band. We just need someone to write the lyrics and sing. And he said, do you write poetry? And he really had me pegged. It was kind of funny. And I said, well, I actually do. And he said, well, just come down to the rehearsal space and bring your poetry book and have a go. And so I walked into a rehearsal space with my poetry book a couple days later, and there was two guitar players set up, a bass player, a drummer, and an open mic. And I learned on the job. I didn't even know, because I just started singing out of my book, that I was actually writing a song, or helping to write a song, from
crazy
from the first go.
This thing, this See at Midnight, is it a project? Is it a band? Is it a burrito? Tortilla? Pickle?
It is, well, I'm the See at Midnight. You know, I write the songs and I sing. It's a project. And I don't really like that word, but I didn't want to be, you know, Vince Grant. So I kind of wanted to have a moniker, like, you know, Robert Smith has The Cure.
Sure.
Paul Weller has, I mean, you know, had The Jam, or Paul Westerberg had The Replacements. I kind of wanted to have a umbrella.
So who did the Craigslist thing for Chris? Was it you, or was it he?
I was looking for a guitar teacher, and I ran across an ad that said, if you have a, you know, shoegaze, cold wave, dark wave, goth, you know, techno project, I'm a producer that specializes in these things, and if you like bands. And then he basically wrote out my record collection. It was like the Jesus and Mary Chain, Joy Division, New Order. He said, you know, we should talk about your project. At the time, I mean, I had been out of music for years. Like, the furthest thing from my mind was,
really?
Oh yeah, I was done. Well, the thing that is, you know, Chris is a fantastic person, so talented, but he's incredibly humble. And in that, in his ad, he did not say, I'm in cold showers.
Right, right.
And when we set up the meeting, he didn't, you know, through, I don't remember if we did it by text or email or through the Craigslist thing, but he never said, oh, I'm Chris King from Cold Showers. So I showed up at his house, and we started talking, and then he said, well, you know, and I produce stuff. I produce my own band's records, and I thought he looked familiar. And then I said, well, what band? He said, Cold Showers. And I blurted out, dude, I've got songs of yours on my personal playlist. And that's when I found out that he was Chris King from Cold Showers. He never used that as a selling point, which I think is.
And then he brought along Brandon.
Yes.
And next thing you know, you're like, oh, I can make a record. Did you have the songs?
I had the songs. I'd been writing again. And Chris said, you know, I can pretty much do everything, you know, if you wanted to do something. And I use Brandon. I do everything but drums. I use Brandon Pierce from Glare. I'd seen Glare, and I'd seen Brandon drum a couple of times. And he struck me in the band. He's an amazing drummer. So we didn't commit to anything that night. And I went home, and I just thought, I could record with Chris King and Brandon Pierce from Glare on drums.
I better do something about this.
Yes.
I better try.
Yes. And so the next, I was still mulling it over. And the next day, Chris sent me an email and said, hey, it was great meeting you last night. If you have any acoustic tracks of these songs that you're working on, even if it's just like recorded on your iPhone, you know, I'd like to hear them. So I sent him 5 songs. And he said, oh, these are really good. You know, if you wanted to do something. And so I never thought I'd go to a recording studio again. I thought that was behind me. And right. I thought, well, let's do a single. We'll do 2 songs, see how it goes. And we did a single. We did 2 songs. It was so easy. It was, those guys are, besides being incredibly talented, no ego. They just play for the song. It was so easy. It sounded incredible to me. The creative ideas were flowing. It was one of the, probably the best musical experience I had in my life. And so when it was done, I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I should do an EP. And so I called Chris back and I said, do you want to do those other 3 songs that I sent you? And he said, yeah, I'll see if Brandon's available, you know? And so we did an EP. And then when that got done, I was just hooked. And I said, what do you think about an album? And Chris said to me, well, it's kind of a singles world. People don't really have attention spans sometimes for albums from new artists. And he said, if you do want to do a full length, I would cap it at 8 songs. And then he said, why don't you come in and play me? Because he'd only heard 5 songs, you know.
Right.
Play me some songs. And maybe he would have said, you know, you don't have the material for it. But he said, yeah, I think these 3 songs are great. But no, you know, no label interest or anything. But Chris, last summer, he records out of a studio. And, of course, that was shut down. And then the middle of last summer, he said to me, the owner says we can record with not like a full band, but if we can do like overdubs for people or like duos or something. He said, I thought of you because your album's doing really well. And you should really think about doing a follow-up for 2021. So if you'd like to do that, you know, you want to use me, I'm just saying. And I said, yeah. So we actually recorded a full 9-song follow-up album, 6 feet apart with masks on.
And it's in the can.
It's in the can.
That's crazy.
We're mixing it now.
Wow.
And the only time anyone had a mask off was when I sang.
Wow.
That was it.
What is the filter for the See at Midnight song? How do you know that it's a song for this?
Actually, there's no filter. What I write goes to the See at Midnight, and I have to like the song. That's it. That's the only filter, is that I have to like it. It has to move me. It has to mean something to me. And then it gets recorded.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is 2 of your songs is the bread and songs by others in between.